weaponizing of U.S. dollars, the World Bank, the IMF, et al., the Washington Consensus of international financial institutions, and the application of U.S. sanctions. Sanctions have been used frequently before, but never as widespread as they are currently applied. Nor have they had the blowback that the weaponizing of U.S. dollars is currently delivering to the global economy. The U.S. is the major sponsor of Israeli regime military actions, using the Zionist regime as a forward operating base in the West Asia North Africa region. The hate-filled domestic terrorism seen in Buffalo is perfectly acceptable when it happens in the Zionist regime. The murder of Palestinians is an ongoing attribute of the Zionist regime's racism, as are the demolitions, imprisonment, night raids, attacks on children, and the many other ways the fabricated regime of Israel controls its apartheid policies. At this point in history, if ever, the end of racism is not in sight. That is to say that current geopolitical forces, current domestic forces, especially in the U.S. and its allies, have no real interest in curtailing the underlying racism of their policies. More and more frequently, as global financial, climatic, and military actions, or lack thereof, create an ever-increasing population deprived of basic human rights and human conditions of living. The use of racism in its overt forms is likely to increase, supported by the underlying persistence of what happens to be, unfortunately, a very human trait. Yet it is a trait that can be reduced through education and creating an equitable standard of living for all people of the world. The minority that lives in the empires of consumption and greed and the desire for power over others needs to be arrested. However one interprets that word, and a fair distribution of the ethos produce in all its forms needs to be created. Along with that, humanitarian services, including education, healthcare, worker safety, and fair compensation, need to be made universal as a right. Then and maybe only then can racism be tamed and the people of the world can interact culturally with respect for other cultures and in a society created for equitable and sustainable living on a healthy planet.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the privilege and honor of being joined by Sister Salma Khalfan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so very much for being with us, sharing your time with us.
The pleasure is mine.
Thank you. We have so many cool topics to discuss on this and future episodes of Muslim Lady. But the important topic that I think we're going to start off with today is regarding the value of having children and child upbringing and the identity of being a mother. Especially in today's age, I feel that being a mother is so degrading for some women in society, and they feel so ashamed among their peers to say that, oh, I'm a housewife, or oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom. They feel like, well, their life is useless and their existence is useless and they don't know what they're doing with themselves, and they don't have that sense of identity anymore. So if we can explain the innate value that's actually interwoven with being a mom and how valuable that is and how valuable it is to raise a child and how hard it is.
Yeah.
I'd really appreciate that.
First of all, well, yeah, what you were saying is absolutely correct. And it's unfortunate and very sad to see that, you know, the people out there, the mothers, feel ashamed of saying that, you know, we are housewives, not thinking about the fact that their task and duty is like 24 hours,
exactly.
I feel, right? Even they have to take care of how their children fall off to sleep. So in a nutshell, parenting is the process of promoting and supporting their physical, the children's physical, emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual development of a child.
Yeah.
From infancy to adulthood.
Mm.
So it's like an ongoing process, you know? And you have to look at all aspects, not only one aspect. People are very smart in doing the worldly bit, you know, providing for the children in the best possible ways, and intellectually also giving the best schools to them.
Education. And
sometimes they lag behind the spiritual aspect, and they don't give the religion to them, thinking that they will learn slowly. They'll be matured and learn, but that requires to be ingrained in a very young age so that they can show the fruits later on. As followers of a divinely revealed religion, that is Islam, We appreciate the fact that all of these areas of promotion and support must take place within the legal framework of the teachings of the Quran and the tradition of the Prophet and the Aimmah alayhi salam. So it's not very, it's not a simple task. And it might be like, okay, now we want to make our family larger to bring up 2, 3, 4 kids. No, you have to think about the fact that how to upbring them. Mm-hmm. That's very important. So this is not enough at all. You know, like we say that the more the better in the in Islam. And it is encouraged, in fact. But with the condition that you have to know that you have the capacity to bring them up in that way. If you know that you just can't bring them up in this way regarding all the aspects, and you know that you won't get support from probably your spouse, then you have to like think about the process of, you know, family planning. Maybe 2 kids, 3 kids, but the more the better still.
Mm. Because in that case, it's really not fair on the child either, is it?
Yeah, it's not
fair
on
the child.
For
you to bring a child into this world whom you cannot properly support and raise, and they're just going to end up having been deprived of many of the fundamental needs. It's just so sad, isn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, one thing we should bear in mind, that as far as the sustenance is concerned, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when sustenance is mentioned, it's mentioned in every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents should know that, you know, like when I want a child, it's within the innate nature of a parent, of a family, to think about bringing up children in life, in this world. So they should know that the such sustenance is ready for them as far as the financial sustenance, the spiritual sustenance. All it requires is to take a step forward and do something about it. And Allah will, of course, give a lot of blessings in the process, inshallah. So what are the requirements of parenting first?
Yep.
To know the value of parenting. Let's see of what are the requirements of parenting. We see that there are 3 prime areas which parents and guardians need to ensure that they look after when they take on this great responsibility of working with the children and to make them the best human beings possible in the earth and the future leaders of Islam. And that's how, you know, that dua that we recite in Kunut, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yuni waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. And that's what our aim should be, to make them leaders of the muttaqin. That's a very big aim, you know, it's a very high aim, because we want to bring children who are pious, but leaders of the pious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are the more pious than the pious also. So this should be our aim. So it's a great responsibility, and there are requirements for this. And the first is the physical security and development of a child. This is the requirement. What is this talking about? The safety of a children's body and his life, that security that he should get. It's not that, like, for example, if a mother is sick, for example, she's facing so much sickness and she can't handle herself also. She knows that she won't be able to provide that safety. You see, as a child is growing up, he needs to be taken care of every step, you know, like a toddler.
Yes.
You need to go after him. So if the mother is physically handicapped, she knows that she can't, unless she has the means, you know, around her. For example, some support, some kind of help to take care of a child. So that becomes a very special thing for her also. So it goes without saying that all people need to have safety and security. And of course, young children more so. So we see the nations spend so much, you know, time and money to ensure this safety and well-being for citizens to be maintained. Like, for example, when this disease of corona had come about, how much was spent, you know, to maintain that safety and security, the bodily security.
Yeah.
So many hospitals were being rebuilt, and I don't know, areas were being taken on for this kind of venture.
Yes.
And so much money was spent, and, you know, like research on vaccines and so forth. And I guess still now it might be going on. So the safety, physical safety, is very important for one. And that's why, because, you see, this is prime importance, and I mentioned it first, is because we as human beings are more acquainted to the nature part of the world, the tabi'ah, you know, like our 5 senses and our zahir. We yearn for these kind of requirements more than when we spiritually grow. See, it takes a kind of a spiritual maturity to come and understand the religion and the, you know, the aqidah of Islam well,
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady. We are going to go for a short break, so stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. This is Muslim Lady. I'm joined in the studio by Sister Salma Khalfan, and we are talking about the mother's identity and the value of child upbringing. Sister Salma, I think that in a lot of cases, the more complex, the more contributing the task we have at hand is, and the more physical, psychological, and intellectual effort we have to exert in order to fulfill that task, the more valuable it becomes, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
And obviously, there is nothing in this world more valuable than the human life, right? As the Quran states that if you take one human life, it's like you've taken all of it. If you save one human life, it's like you've saved all of humanity. And even if we want to look at it from like an evolutionary aspect, we are the most evolved of all living creatures. We are the most complex of all living creatures, most intelligent, so on and so forth. So it's really still so strange for me to understand how is it that the identity of a mother is robbed from her because raising a child has been looked at as something so trivial and insignificant. When it's like she's literally determining the future of humanity,
yeah,
right? By what she's doing.
That's right. Absolutely. Actually, you know what? Sometimes it's a wrong influence that touches her through the media and people around her, her peers.
Yeah.
So she loses the interest in what she really yearned for in the first place. Her fitrat, you know, kind of gets covered. Because if you go and see a mother enhances so much, you know, of her existence, her wujud. First of all, her time.
Yeah.
Her time is, like, everybody's time is so valuable for them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we yearn for our space. And we want that, you know, time and space to do our things. But a mother, look at her self-sacrifice.
She's consumed.
She's just, you know, so engrossed in bringing up a child that she wants to not only give her time, that is a real parent I'm talking about, and a valuable parent, her, you know, like quality time. You'll see she's trying to find out how to do things with her child so that the child can be healthily, you know, grown up in a perfect state of mind, play with her child, find new items to intellectually grow, you know, her child. And she's doing it with interest too. And those are the real parents out there who do this, the Islamic parents. And you can find these also, who are so interested and they don't take, you know, like any influence. Nothing influences them. Whoever tells them whatever, and even if they have so many degrees at hand, they will give up that and they will do what they have to do and they yearn to do and they feel like doing. Which is, it's such a beautiful job if you go and see, like out there we have to struggle and to, you know, to do something and then to work and to come back home and to toil and you get your, you know, like you're some payment at the end of the month or something, or the end of the week. But here a parent has everything ready at hand. That right thoughts, that emotionality, that sustenance promised by Allah, those sawabs ready for her to take care of Allah's amanats, you know. So everything is there, and that interest to do it, and that love. You know, and that's so amazing. It's not as if that, you know, she has to do it and she yearns and loves to do it.
Right.
So time is very important factor, you know, to give the proper time, the quality time. And that's when, you know, we sometimes really stress the men, the spouses, their, you know, their husbands, to also give quality time to the children.
Course,
because the two parents together make a healthy child, you know.
That's very important. You're right. And that's definitely something we're going to touch upon in further episodes of Muslim Lady. But that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so very much for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah Muhammad. The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Salam. And let us begin the day with a brief but beautiful piece of advice from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, the sixth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the eve of his martyrdom anniversary. Sleep little at night and speak little in day. The less thankful organs are the eye and the tongue.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscious of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society, who was the organizer of this event, it said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022. The meadows in the foothills of the Swiss Alps have turned white these days, with locals calling it May snow. But it has nothing to do with snow. It's all about narcissus blooms covering the hills above the town of Montreux. Locals call the scene May snow because it looks like a blanket of snow from a distance. The flowers have been a tourist attraction since the 19th century, but factors such as urbanization have caused their decline in the past few years. Artists in a small town in the United Kingdom have created a massive bumblebee mural, hoping to raise awareness about this vanishing species. The mural was painted on the playing field of a primary school in the town of Haptonbridge. It was debuted on International Bee Day. The artist used paints typically used to draw lines for football pitches. Scientists say rising temperatures and heavy pesticide use are contributing to the decline in the number of bumblebees across Europe and North America. They say the population reduction rate is consistent with mass extinction of a species altogether. Children at a school have also created a wildflower meadow to help encourage bees to pollinate. A print art exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The carved into wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's wood blocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of a thick sheet of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. Then ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, five deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past six decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Yusuf Jalali from Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bears' living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
A group of over a dozen penguins has been released back to the sea after being given a second chance to live.
The condition of these specimens, which fortunately could be reinserted, is very common to find. They are animals that appear stranded on the coast, found with malnutrition, dehydration, hypothermia, and a high degree of parasitism. Specialists call this condition the stranded penguin syndrome.
The penguins were rescued and taken to the Mundo Marino Foundation, where they were rehabilitated. They were kept warm and were fed liquids until they could eat fish again. Before their release, blood and other samples were taken, and a chip was implanted to track them. One of the penguins was a southern rockhopper, which is a species listed as endangered. Biologists at a rescue center say there are many reasons why penguins get stranded and malnourished. These include overfishing, global warming, and other environmental changes. Thousands of people crowd into the British city of Norwich to watch a 2-kilometer-long string of dominoes topple, while winding through town. Some 7,500 breeze blocks were set up for the event. The dominoes slinged through street buildings, windows, and even climbed up stairs and trees. The toppling lasted 30 minutes. The moving sculpture was installed across the city with the help of some 200 volunteers. The artistic director said the work was chosen partly because it was a spectacle and both disrupted the city and engaged its people.
There's a sense of anticipation that goes with the work. You would have seen people around town at the moment. Everybody's asking, what's going on? And then when they realise what it is, then there's this sense of, oh, and when are you going to knock it over? So that it's a sculpture also that gets destroyed in many ways, and that's really part of the work as well. I mean, I like to think about it as a child almost playing with the city. You know, they're setting everything up, and we all know they're going to knock it down at some point, and that's fun.
Daniel Bryan said he was excited about the project because it looked like a child had taken over the city with the joy of knocking down dominoes. The cascading dominoes ran through two cities, eventually ending at the site of Norfolk and Norwich Festival of Arts. The organizers say the goal of the installation was to bring unity to the community.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace to all of you who are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic is the Shia of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Today, Thursday, is the 24th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Qisas, verses 41 to 42.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وجعلناهم أئمة يدعون إلى النار ويوم القيامة لا ينصرون.
And we made them leaders inviting to the fire, and on the day of resurrection they will not be helped.
وأتبعناهم في هذه الدنيا لعنة ويوم القيامة هم من المقبوحين.
And we caused to overtake them in this world a curse, and on the day of resurrection they will be of the despised.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
This holy verse indicates that Allah set the people of Pharaoh as leaders who invited others to the hell, and on the hereafter day, no one will help them. Those who have ugly way of life in this world will have ugly face in the next world. Here the Quran has divided the leaders into two groups, the leaders of light and the leaders of fire. In the logic of the Quran, we have two kinds of leaders.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
Our topic is, who are the Shia? Shia means a group of followers, and it occurs in the Quran many times and refers to the followers of the previous prophets, such as Prophet Abraham and Prophet Moses. Shia today refers to the followers of a particular school of Islamic thought, which is based on the teachings of the Prophet and his family, and sometimes it is referred to as the school of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. While no schools of thought existed at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, he is still used to refer to a certain group of people as the Shia of Ali. The Prophet said, "The parable of Ali is like a tree in which I am the root. Ali is the branch, Hassan and Hussein are the fruits, and the Shia are the leaves."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain definitions and characteristics of typical Shi'i people as formulated by the sixth and infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And at the same time, elsewhere, the sixth infallible Imam, indicated it to his disciples and his companions. أُسِّيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَالْوَرَعِ فِي دِينِكُمْ وَالْإِجْتِهَادِ لِلَّهِ وَصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَاءُ الْأَمَانَةِ وَطُولُ السُّجُودِ وَحُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا وَرَعَ فِي دِينِهِ وَصَدَقَ الْحَدِيثُ وَأَدَّى الْأَمَانَةَ وَحَسُنَ خُلُقُهُ مَعَ النَّاسِ قِيلَ هَذَا جَعْفَرِيٌّ فَيَسُرُّنِي ذَلِكَ وَيَدْخُلُ عَلَيَّ مِنْهُ السُّرُورُ وَقِيلَ هَذَا أَدَبُ جَعْفَرٍ. And it's a long hadith. It indicates that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has recommended his companions and by extension all Shi'is to consider and to observe religious piety, both in words and in deeds, and trying hard to obtain and to find out the religious rules, being truthful and being confident when a deposit is placed with them, and to be kind to one's neighbors. It indicates that, I mean, side by side with the merely religious aspect, the social aspect should also be considered.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Dear brothers and sisters, you are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, and now we get familiar more about the characteristics of a true Shia. Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, "Test our Shia during the time of the five daily Salah. How do they protect them, the Salat? And also test our Shia in relation to our Ahlul Bayt secrets. How do they protect them in relation to our enemies? And also test our Shia in relation to their money and wealth. How do they spend it among their fellow brothers?" The meaning of protection of the secrets is to safeguard the status and rank of Ahlul Bayt. By this, we mean that the rank which Ahlul Bayt possess must not be spoken about while in the presence of their enemies who do not believe in them, things such as their power and jurisdiction by the permission of Allah over the universe, miracles, and knowledge of the unseen which they possess, since these things are nothing other than the secrets of these noble personalities. In regards to this, sometimes we see that one person resort to Ghuluf, that means exaggeration of the greatness of the Ahlul Bayt, and this act is very dangerous. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. This is a newly part, as you know. We have, in every episode, in every part of today's special from IRIB English Radio, this part comes to you entitled Life Lesson. Today, Role of the Pen. Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "I have not seen any weeper nicely smiling like a pen. The pen divulges the feelings and interprets the wisdom of man. The pen is founder of civilizations and rotates the wheels of society. The pen conveys the worries and pain of men through its continuous weeping. It can at the same time brighten the landscape with its smile when it touches upon life's beauty and love, desire for life and its mysteries. But it is regretful that when this pen is in hand of an incompetent person, its tears will change to drops of blood, and its smile is a sneaker on the utmost human credits."
I'm a Shia because my view of the companions is in line with the Quran. The Quran tells you there are two companions. Minhum man yuridu dunya wa minhum man yuridu al-akhirah. Isn't this the word of God? Allah says there are two companions. The first group are those who want dunya, this world. And then there are those who want the akhirah. My dear brothers and sisters, if the Quran is telling me there are companions who want dunya, should I follow people who want dunya? I'm a Shia because that's what I learned from the Quran. Follow the companions who take you to Allah because they want the akhirah. Not the companions who wanted the dunya and they were hypocrites according to the Quran. I'm a Shia because my view is reflected by the Quran. What do other schools of thought tell you? Other schools of thought, they tell you no. Any one of them that you follow, you'll be guided. They're all good. They're all just. That's not compatible with the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran rebukes many of them. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. You companions, if the Prophet dies or is killed, you fall back on your heels? I would not follow someone who will fall back on their heels. That is why I'm a Shia, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to know our belief system and have yaqeen over it. I'm a Shia because when I look at my salah, I see my salah is the most beautiful, complete salah that you'll ever see. I stand before Allah with my hands down to show my full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seriously, just look at the way we stand in our salah. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi praying. How do you visualize him praying? Standing as a slave, lowering his head, and his hands are to his sides. My salah is the one that teaches me when you do sujood to worship God, do sujood on something people don't worship. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam teaches you, people worship food and people worship clothing. Isn't it so? We spend billions of dollars on our stomach and our clothing. The Imam says Allah wants you to prostrate on the earth, on the dust, because you want to show your full humility to Allah. You don't want to prostrate on anything that the people of dunya worship. That's the beautiful prayer. With my prayer after Surah Al-Fatiha, we recite a full chapter. You know where's the beauty in that? Every chapter in the Quran is a complete chapter. Which one indicates more respect for an author? If you read part of the chapter and you leave, or you read the entire chapter, which one's more effective? In my school of thought, I recite a full chapter, showing more concern and more respect to the Holy Quran, because I recite an entire chapter benefiting from an entire chapter. I am a Shia, my dear brothers and sisters, because my school of thought teaches me who the wasila is. You know how Allah starts creation of the human being? After Allah creates Adam, what does He command the angels to do? What does He command them to do? He commands them to prostrate to who? To who? To Adam, right? Doesn't Allah command the angels to prostrate to Adam? Now, according to these other schools of thought, no, that's shirk. What do you mean, prostrate to Adam? That's what the Quran says. The only one who refused was Iblis. Iblis said, no, Allah, I won't prostrate to Adam. I'll prostrate only to you. Allah kicked him out. Allah says, I have a wasila. There's a path. Now that I created Adam, you come to me through Adam. He's my prophet. He's my khalifa. Show him respect. Take him as the wasila. Then I'll accept your worship. All the angels accepted, except Iblis. He's the one who did not accept. My theology in shafa'a and in wasila is the closest to the Holy Quran, is in line with how even the human being started.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we will speak more about this interesting topic, and that is, who is a true Shia? Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. So may Allah bless all of you, and we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.